بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Continue إن شاء الله where we stopped yesterday. So
we finished the previous page and then stopped.
This one?
Yes.
So we'll start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Bismillah. So nothing can save one from innovations except what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed. Adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs. This is what will protect one from innovations. And this requires learning and understanding the religion of Allah, since the righteous predecessors were the most knowledgeable of this ummah. That was why they were the most cautious against innovations and the most harsh in warning against it, due to their knowledge of what it leads to. When the fire of innovation burns, it comes upon everyone. It comes upon the young, the old, the scholars, and the entire people. And even if they are safe from it, their family, children, and those around them will not be safe from it. It is similar to fire. It burns dry stalks, putting it out becomes difficult, but extinguishing it at the beginning when it becomes easy, whereas putting it out after it has become great and intense becomes difficult indeed. So it is obligatory to treat it with determination and not being negligent about it. Since the prior predecessors is the best generations used to besiege innovations and do not allow anything of it to spread out, they become the best of generations and the purest of generations of this ummah. Consequently, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised them in saying, "The best of you is my generation, then those who will come after them, and then followed by those who will come after them."
Okay, a quick note here. So the example was given is a good example about the fire. It takes the young to the old. And the innovations, it is inherited, like you inherit money. Many of us, we know things from the deen, from our parents. And their parents know it from their parents, without any verification, right? So sometimes we are involved ourselves in innovations without us knowing it, thinking that وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَيْهَا وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. We found our parents doing it and we shall follow their footsteps. This is a wrong statement. But we say وَجَدْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَصْحَابَهُ عَلَىٰ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ لَمُقْتَدُونَ. We are following the examples of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions. And other than that, it should be aware of every small and big act in the deen and refer it to the right books of the deen, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul, and find it if it's applicable or it's not applicable, small or big, because it tells you small or big is still innovation and still is a threat to this deen, and it shaves from your deeds like you shave your hair. So always we have to, when we recognize innovation, we have to stop it, and we have to warn from it, and we have to educate it, and we have to give a replacement from the Quran and the Sunnah.
This is because they were not careless about innovations. Rather, they used to besiege innovations, and the people of innovations used to hide due to the strength of the people of the truth. But when the best of generations were over, innovations, people of innovations, and evil became active, and the fitna, tribulation, spread among the Muslims. However, Allah Azza wa Jal has guaranteed the preservation of this religion. The religion is preserved, and all praise is due to Allah. But destruction will, however, strike upon the followers of the religion. They are the ones who will be destroyed. And for the religion, it is preserved by Allah's preservation. Allah will appoint for it those who will support and establish it. Allah, the Most High, says,
وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ.
And if you turn away from Islam and the obedience of Allah, He will exchange you for some other people, and they will not be your likes.
فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ.
Allah will bring a people who He will love, and they will love Him. Allah will not leave His religion to waste, but we are the ones that will lose if we are negligent about our religion, related with innovators and followers of newly invented matters, and become careless about them. We are the ones indeed to lose. Perhaps tribulations, fighting, and shedding of blood may occur as a result, and we may not be safe from it. He is saying, so it became great and taken as religion through which worship is made, that is, if innovations are neglected, they will thereafter become religion. And the author's saying has preceded that. No people introduce an innovation except the like of it from the Sunnah is removed, until the innovation becomes the religion of that society and the Sunnah is removed from it. That does not mean that the entire Ummah will be like that. Rather, the society which allows innovations to spread in it, such innovations will become the religion of the people of that society. However, this does not mean that the religion will expire. There will be other people in another place or a town who will establish it. Allah will appoint for this religion those who will assist it, guard it, and protect it. It is reported in the hadith that in the end of time, the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ will be regarded as innovations, while innovations will be regarded as sunan of the Prophet ﷺ. So much so that if they are changed, it will be said the religion has been changed. And if you deny them, they will say to you that you are denying the religion. He's saying, so he contradicted the right path and went out of the fold of Islam. That is, following innovations will continue to lead the follower until all of the religion becomes innovations, and will as a result go out of the fold of Islam, since nothing of the ways of guidance of the Prophet ﷺ is left in his religion.
In the Day of Judgment, the Prophet ﷺ will be near his Hawd. The Hawd. Everybody knows about the Hawd, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's coming, it is coming from a source. Where is the source from? From Al-Kawthar. Right? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Al-kawthar yamtaddu ma'uhu ila al-hawd. It's like when you look at Lake Victoria and it gives the Nile, right? To Africa. So the main source of the Nile is where? Lake Victoria in Africa. So al-hawd, the source of it is al-kawthar in Jannah. Mm-hmm. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting around the hawd, and the cups of silver and gold and all those expensive jewelry, whatever you call it, made cups as the numbers of the stars in the sky, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is waiting for his followers to pass and get the sirat, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everyone in his ummah, he will be saying to him, Rabbi sallim, sallim, oh Allah, you know, like he is making dua for them to pass. And then when they come close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get the water, they get removed. Some of them, they are being forced away from the Hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his love to this ummah, will say, Ummati, Ummati, my ummah, where are you taking them? Al-Malaika, the angels, will reply to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, La tadri ma ahdathu ba'dak. You do not know, Ya Rasulullah, what they have innovated after you. So what is the answer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He will say, suhqan wa bu'dan, mean woe and far away from me. I do not need you. Those who are close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, those who are the fortunate one to take that water from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, those who hold on to the sunnah, his sunnah, bin nawajid. You know what nawajid? That's exactly what it is. When the Prophet ﷺ said, عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ, hold on to it with your molar teeth. See how, because it's about what? To escape. And if you don't hold on to it and you let it go, you fall into these innovations, and slowly, slowly, it becomes what? A religion, and you will be slowly, slowly away from the fold of Islam. And they die, and they think they die on Islam. And, oh, they are Muslimin, they are this and that. But in the grave, when the books are opened, when to find where are they located, after the questioning in the grave, they find themselves, they are in a different place where they thought. قُلْ هَلُ نَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Those who thought they did good in this life, their deeds are gone. Everything they did in this life is gone, and in their mind, everything they were doing is Quran and Sunnah, which is far away from the Quran and the Sunnah. I want to stop here. I'm not going to go to number five, which is number, I think, six. Number six. We'll continue, inshallah, next Friday. But these little things, that tips I'm giving you every, in those 3 days, little shields, protection for yourself. Like an example, can you think of a bid'ah that you know from your culture? Can you think of something?
Yes.
Who can think of something quickly from their culture? What is a bid'ah? What is it?
Bowing for elders.
Bowing for elders.
Yes.
Or else?
Reciting Surah Yasin for the person who has died.
So what this has, you know, this Surah Yasin, there are some ulama, they have saying about this. Some did not mention it, and some they went with the hadith is da'if about Iqra'u Yasin ala mawtakum. It's kind of, it has, anything has like the disagreement between ulama, I will keep it away. But
40 days after they die, they have a gathering.
The visitations for the graves, you know that? After, you know, you have to do something after 40 days.
40 days.
And, 40 days. And the simple thing, the beads.
The beads, yes.
How many of us, brother? I mean, I have to say this, but you know, don't hate me for it. How many of us have beads with us? But you know, I have to be quite frank, you know, this is bid'ah. The beads are bid'ah. And you know, when we go to Hajj, we give what? Beads?
Yeah.
The beads, brothers, is nothing to do with, this is a bid'ah. And you might think this is harsh, you know? But the truth is, during the time of Abdullah ibn, I think, Mas'ud, they came to him and they were even what? Doing the hasa. They're counting with the pebbles, the stones. They're counting the tasbih. And they came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and when he came to them, he told them what? مَا أَسْرَعَ أَهْلَكَتُكُمْ يَا أُمَّةَ مُحَمَّدٍ. Oh, nation of Muhammad, you are asking to be doomed so fast. The Prophet ﷺ did not teach us this. So it's a person who thought, subhanallah, you know, he was probably bored. Subhanallah, subhanallah. He's counting 33 times. But the companions, for their love of the Prophet ﷺ, they watch every move he does and they learn it. So the Prophet ﷺ never did except what? He's using his right hand for tasbih 33 times. Some brother tell me, Sheikh, I have a counter. He has like a counter on his, a ring, a counter. And I tell him, why is that? He says, Sheikh, because I'm afraid I might miss that my 33 times. Subhanallah. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in sin akhtan. How about if you made it 10 times and you thought it's 33 times? Is it count for you 33 times?
Mm-hmm.
From the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He had the bag full of dead stones for
me. I have to look into this one. This is, but you know, the Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is similar to what you're saying, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Habrul Ummah. When we look at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, why I refer to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Dhar, of course, he's from the giants of Sahaba, no doubt. But Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as the Prophet ﷺ gave him the title of Habrul Ummah, means he is the most knowledgeable. He is the most knowledgeable of the deen. And when he comes and he said, مَا أَسْرَعَ أَهْلَكَتَكُمْ يَا أُمَّةَ مُحَمَّدٍ, I don't know what's the story behind Abu Dhar, why he was doing it, for a reason, could be. We have to look what the scholars said about it, but for what we know for sure about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, about the counting, he was totally against it, and he warned him. It was very clear in the hadith. And he said, this is not what the Prophet ﷺ told us. So little things
the only thing missing is the cross hanging on the beads.
Yeah, subhanAllah. So little things will drag into to bigger things. You know, that's what it is. I'm just giving you like little things. I mean, you can take this as a, as an example, whether light or big. The idea of this is to identify if one of the Sahaba did it, approved by the ulama, no doubt, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "What عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي." فالخلفاء, they did it. That means Abu Dhar, he left the time of Khulafa. So if they did something, we have to abide by it if it is proven. So this is number one. Number two is the little things that we do daily, on a daily basis, thinking this is from the deen, if it does not have any basis. I'm just giving you these little examples, you know, like shaking the hands after salah, right? Or when you make salam, some brothers open their hands. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that? They say, assalamu alaikum. It's like asking, and I'm thinking like, I'm afraid somebody next to you like put some money in your hand or something, asking for money, you know? So opening the hand. So there are, you have to look, how did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pray? How close our salah to the Prophet? We're not going to match the salah of the Prophet. We're not. You know, he is ahead of us. But we take from him, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you see me praying. خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take from me your manasik. He's learning of the deen. Take it from me. وَمَا سَأَلْتُكُمْ فَخُذُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Whatever I tell you to do as much as you can. You're not going to do all of it, as much as you can. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرْ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرْ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلْ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ كَثِيرًا قَلِيلًا. So the Prophet ﷺ was given, sleep a little bit, and wake up, and then make qiyam, then sleep another, then wake qiyam. The Prophet ﷺ said, if his eyes sleeps, but his heart never sleeps. If he sleeps while he's fasting, and some, you know, that he connected his fasting, right? He said, I am not like you. And if I went to sleep fasting, يُطْعِمُنِي رَبِّي وَيَسْقِينِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will feed him, give him nutrition, what he wanted, هو رسول الله. But we're not like him to connect the fasting for 2 days or 3 days like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's separate. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has certain things that he was chosen and he was recognized by, different than anyone. He is the best of all the descendant of Adam alayhi salam, Sayyid Walad Adam. Little things in the salah or after the salah or before the salah, for example, praying in the masjid, the sunan after the salah. Did anywhere proving that the Prophet ﷺ prayed his sunnah, the nawafil, in the masjid? What was known about the Prophet ﷺ, as soon as he finishes salah, he'll go to his house. He'll go to his room, meaning that he's finishing his salah in the jama'ah, and home is a place for you make your nawafil, to spend time with your spouses, with your children, because that is also precious time. This is from the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ. But not to sit down and say, no, Abu Ja'far, don't close the masjid. I need to pray my two sunnah and my three witr and maybe another three witr, and Abu Ja'far is waiting there outside. Come on, Sheikh. Yeah, Sheikh, the masjid. Okay, alhamdulillah. Why didn't you pray at home? I'm in the house of Allah. Okay, alhamdulillah. No problem. Abu Ja'far, as long as you're praying, I'll go maybe pray with you, Jama'ah, and get it over with the Qiyam al-Layl. Little things like that, you know, it kind of, at the long term, it adds up. And if you ask anybody, everybody, their intention is good. Right? Yeah. Nobody's intention is bad, but the intention has to be good based on solid basis. Mm-hmm. True or not?
Yeah.
If it's not based on solid basis, then you are on a very weaky ground and soon to be destroyed and taken you down with it. So what is the way to strengthen the ground underneath you? Is to strengthen yourself with knowledge. Right? To strengthen yourself with knowledge. The ring for marriage. From the bid'ah. Mm-hmm. We took it from the non-Muslims. You see the
Christians.
The Christians. We take it from, I said non-Muslims, I said whoever the, whatever religion they are, you know, that becomes part of their religion.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Ameen.
There you go. I don't know this, but he's telling us. The ring. And we tell somebody, do not wear the ring. They tell you, why? The Prophet ﷺ wear the ring. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ wear the ring, but not on an occasion. We don't come for the wedding and try to exchange the rings, you know. This is number one. Then, wearing the jewelry, you know, wearing the jewelry. And when you see some brothers wearing bracelets and stuff like that, The Sahaba never wore these
things.
Oh, forget about go. Now it comes to matter of halal and haram. It is like, I'm just asking for things that, you know, the appearance, our appearance. You know, like sometimes we come and, you know, our pants are dragging on the ground. Right? It's below the ankle. Things like this. The garment is not clean. Coming to the masjid rushing, you know, and, you know, smelling food and stuff like that. Garlic or onion or something. Where the Prophet ﷺ always said, when you come to the masjid, you know, you have to come in the best. As the Prophet ﷺ always coming in the best way possible, you know, smelling good, new clothes. You know, if anybody tell you, go ahead, tomorrow we choose you to go ahead, delegation to meet with Mr. Trump. As an example, you know, Trump doesn't mean nothing. I'm sure you will go ahead, maybe you will rent a tuxedo for thousands of dollars. Because to make sure that, you know, this meeting, hey, they choose me, I got to look good in front of everybody. فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So what do you think of Rabbil Alameen that you come every day to his house? You want to come rath al-thiyab with an old clothes, smelling food, not preparing yourself. This is from the sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. And come in here fast, you know, because you see in your, in the culture, your parents, everybody around you did it. Yeah, they did it. I think it's okay. No, it's not okay. خُدُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ. We take our best in every salah. In every place when we come to these houses, he comes here, we are in an important meeting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, we owe it to ourselves to increase that knowledge. And every minute that, every little knowledge that we added to our account, because our counter is counting. And we're not far away from the grave. Are we far away from the grave?
No.
Allah, only Allah knows when. It is a matter who is going to be amongst us. Who is going to be the first one in the box? Right? Who is the first one going to be in the box? We're gathering here. How many brothers here? We're about close to 50. Who is the first? It is already written. It is already written in the kitab. How many 50 brothers here? Fulan, he is the first to be prayed on. He's going to be the first one in the box. Yalihi Fulan, next after him. I'm not talking about from the world. I'm talking about this group here. And then this, and this. Who is the last? Who is the first and who is the last? But before we come to the first and last, are we ready? Are we ready? We have all the time in the world. All the time in the world. Just yesterday, because I prayed a little bit extra in Salat al-Fajr, I get this text message, Irhamu man fil ard. This is the message I saw it on my text message, without names. Irhamu man fil ard. Irhamu man fil ard.
Give me the numbers. What does it mean?
Huh?
What does it mean?
What does it mean? Have mercy on those who are on earth. Allah will have mercy on you. Only yesterday that I read an extra quarter page. And I led the salah for another 4 minutes in Fajr. Just because it's Sunday. Which is today's Sunday, right? Today's Fajr. And I get this thing. As soon as I come home, I see this text message on my phone. Brothers, but if we stand outside chit-chatting, we never think about our feet and our... Alhamdulillah, no problem. No problem. But if my salah is long on you, please tell me. I would like to hear this from you. No, because if my salah is long, I will shorten it. No, wallahi, I will shorten it.
Is that why Isha was faster?
Huh? Exactly. Absolutely right. Because he was present, and I want to make it short. You know, I want to make it short to make him happy, to say, I got your message. But this is not, but this is not the deen, brothers. You know, he has to bring me hadith Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, anta fatanu ya Mu'adh. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he led the salah for the jama'ah at the masjid. He read from Surah Al-Baqarah. I only read today 2 pages from Surah Fussilat. 2 1/4 pages. Maybe my recitation was a little slow, but the entire salah did not take 20 minutes. And we have a sajda. So I had today two ruku' and 3 sujood. And 20 minutes, and the first thing, it hurts me. I tell you the truth, it hurts me. Because I don't want to feel like, but not take the deen, something I have to say, we don't take the deen on a personal level. If I, wallahi brothers, if I have a problem with my knees, and I pray, for example, he is the imam, and I know he's going to read another, maybe 5 minutes, I cannot stand it. I prepare myself with a chair behind me. I sit, but he said, no, Sheikh, I don't want to sit. Why you force me to sit down? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. But is it from our deen that I have to accommodate? Every one of you has an issue. I have to accommodate it. No. Wallahi, it's harsh on me. It's not fair for me. Because the imam, if he makes a mistakes on him, and it's for you. And if he makes good, it's for him and for you. So you are in what? Win-win situation. The imam is not in win-win situation. May Allah, I don't want to be the bridge that all of you passes and I'm hanging. Where is the Sheikh? The Sheikh is still behind us. We pass. We pass. We pass. No. I'm just wallahi giving you these little things from our deen. We have to understand. We have to be more deeper vision. I want to say. Let's have our vision deeper. And let's have more understanding. And let's have more simplicity. Because wallahi, today we live, tomorrow we might not. These 5 minutes we stay today. What are you going to do if tonight is your first night in the grave? Tonight is your first night in the grave. Wallahi, you're going to wish there was 5 minutes extra every day.
Yeah.
And what is needs? And I'm not young. I'm 51. Don't think your Sheikh, wallahi, he's young. Mashallah, he's... I'm not young. I'm not 30. I'm 51. So I'm getting there, my age too. Anybody? Oh, I'm sure he has a cup. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, maybe 7. You're over 51?
No.
You're over 51? So you may be like 5, 7, 8 more. But the rest is, you know, younger. But the idea is, brothers, we know ourselves. If you cannot handle it, another 3-4 minutes does not mean that you have to send these, you know, I call it a really unnecessary message. And it made my day go really not good. Not good. Huh? Yeah, absolutely, but yeah, no, it wasn't about sick, it was about standing. It was about standing. The whole thing is standing. If it's sick, yeah, Sheikh, how do I know? Do I know who's behind me sick and who's not sick? And every time I look behind me, wallahi, as the Prophet said, اقتدي بالأضعف. So I find the weakest, and I consider my salah to the weakest. But mashallah, brother Sheikh, he is the oldest amongst us here. Or maybe brother Hassan, maybe one of them. But mashallah, if I stay all night, they will stand, they will not say anything. But please, and I beg you, if my salah is long, let me know. Wallah, I shorten it. I don't want to be prayed and behind me, people behind me mumbling in their minds and losing their khushu' because the Imam read another 4 or 5 lines, extra lines. And wallahi, the whole idea is because of the sajda and because of the meaning, I do not want to interrupt and go for quickly finish the rak'ah. That's the only reason. I'm sorry I took a little longer than I supposed to, but these little things kind of really makes me unhappy.
We'll text you.
Yeah. No, but inshallah, I want you to be honest, you know, wallahi. And don't text me. Tell me, Sheikh, I think it was a little long. Alhamdulillah, well, I'll take it, no problem. But sending text messages, you know, like, I don't want to see that. Because I'm going home and alhamdulillah, I have my mind is set and I'm remembering the ayat and all of a sudden I see this message. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Here is your day start already from Salat al-Fajr. Your day. Irhamu man fil ard. Like, may Allah, you know, if you don't have mercy on us, you will not going to get the mercy of Allah. That's what it doesn't mean. And we all say, you know, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sorry for the delay. We'll continue, inshallah.